You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
DU.
It is a gym class for Wednesday here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us here on 1600 AM all over Eastern Iowa, as well as 107.5 FM, the Gym OT, 102.3 FM, both in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Scott Udash with you here in studio. Buttons on the other side of the glass, doing his usual bang-up job here today on a Wednesday, and Mark Dukes from his back porch on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we come together for the gym class program, taking you through this hour. Good show. Justin Webster is going to join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and we're going to talk a little auto racing, local racing, if you will, both from the dirt as well as the asphalt. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, we've got baseball news, we've got golf news today, and sad college basketball news to get to before 4 o'clock here this afternoon. And, Mark, I said don't put your windows up. I like to hear the birds in the background.
Good afternoon, guys. And as I've said before, those are real birds, not the piped-in ones you have at the Masters.
Those are real. Real. So I like
all
to hear
kinds
it.
Of different varieties. Yeah.
Are you becoming a bird watcher in the pandemic?
I don't have any choice. The bird bath is right out my window. It's terrific. Yeah.
Oh, so you just mark down how many different varieties and species of birds come to the bird bath during the show. We'd like to go over that at the end of the day.
Well, if I get bored, I shall.
Okay. 319-366-1600. That is our text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That is also our phone line as well. Same digits, 319-366-1600. Unfortunately, we must start things off on a sad note today as far as Iowa men's basketball is concerned. A former Iowa men's basketball as one of the six-pack, maybe if not the most popular team and certainly the most followed team as far as Iowa basketball history is concerned, certainly one of them with Ralph Miller back in 1970, but one of the six-pack, unfortunately, Mark, passed away today.
Yeah, Ben McGilmer, who was, he was the sixth man on that team, but he shared time with center Dick Jensen, who typically started, but Ben McGilmer was an integral part of that team that averaged 98 points a game and over 100, I think, in Big Ten play. And Ben was 74 and a very accomplished individual in many respects. And I remember a few years ago, I wrote a piece about the six-pack, that 69-70 Iowa team for the Gazette. Talked to Glenn Vidnovic, who is still in the area. Just a lot of great stories about John Johnson and Fred Brown and Ben McGilmer and different games and whatnot. And I'm of the age. I listened to every single minute of every single game that season. It was just that enjoyable.
It was. And one of the things about Ben McGilmer, quite fascinating, is the fact that he had his athletic career interrupted and his academic career as well. He was drafted into the U.S. Army right in the middle of his stint as a basketball player.
That is correct, and he came back and then played at Iowa. And he went on to quite a life. He was one of seven children. You know, five guys on that team, Scott, were drafted by the NBA, but at the time there were like 14 or 15 rounds, maybe even more, and McGilmer was one of them. He ended up playing overseas. But just a wonderful team, and McGilmer an integral part of it.
Yeah, and he led a very fascinating life. He was a coach. He moved to Spain, reading this off the HawkeyeSports.com website. He also is a computer. He studied computer networking systems down in Georgia. He also was a French and Spanish teacher in the DeKalb County school system down in Georgia. So just a kind of a fascinating individual what he all accomplished as far as his life is concerned. And remember the six-pack we lost today, Ben McGilmer passing away today. And they are going to hold a funeral online streaming service will be held down in Georgia. That'll be coming up on July the 12th. More information available if you want to check it out at HawkeyeSports.com. But that's a tough one, I know, for the Iowa community today.
Yeah, of course, John Johnson passed in recent years, and now McGilmer, and glad you recited his personal history because it's fascinating. Oftentimes we lose track of players that we follow, no matter what the school, and don't really realize what they become after their playing careers. But again, McGilmer, very accomplished individual.
319-366-1600 if you have any memories. Again, 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well. And we will talk some. Going to have a mixed bag today. As Gus would say, it's all hash today. Right, Mark?
And it was often good hash.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. 10 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We're going to talk some racing here in just a little bit. We're going to talk about Major League Baseball returning and more. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. But we want to go to the phone lines, and we're going to go to Rick in Cedar Rapids. I think he wants to talk about Ben McGilmer here a little bit. Rick, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Doing great, doing great. What's on your mind?
I'm saddened by Ben's passing. I was, in 1970, I was 15 going on 16, and my dad was with the university and had season tickets for all the different athletic events. And so I went with dad to the games. I remember when Ben was a sophomore. He showed well and all, and then, like you guys said, he ended up in the service for a few years, played Army ball, and came back. Here he was when he first was on as a sophomore. He was about 6'6", and real spindly. I don't know that he weighed 175 pounds, if that. And when he came back, he was a man. He was a good 6'7", and I'm guessing probably 215 or thereabouts. He was solid, and he could play. He just wasn't a post man. He had a shot that he could go out 15 feet or so from the hoop, and he was a threat, and he passed the ball well, as all those guys on that team did. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, and it's this passing just makes it more real, too, why the athletic department does not have a 50th reunion ceremony for these guys who survived this past season to mark the 50th anniversary of them winning the outright title at the Big Ten undefeated that year, 14-0.
Yep. And I can't speak for the university, obviously, Rick. But,
right.
Maybe something is in the works for before the new year. Of course, if we play college basketball, which is a big if, we all hope.
I can add to that, Scott and Rick. I talked to Glenn Vidnovic, you know, a few years ago about that story I wrote, and I reached out to Iowa Sports Information and asked them that very question. And they said, while nothing was in the works for basketball, they thought the Letterman's Club was going to have something during football season, which I think is a bit odd, but nevertheless, that was in the works the last I knew.
Hmm. Sure. But, you know, the heck with the Letterman's, and, you know, I know the people in the Letterman's Club, but they want a Big Ten title for the university, not for the Letterman's Club.
Mm-hmm.
The athletic department should pony up the money. I know, you know, times are a little tough, but they could have ponied up the money, got everybody in here. And had them honored. I mean, my God, we've honored other people during a situation. And we sure do a good job of honoring the football team during basketball season. So, you know, I mean, the current football team. So I'm not arguing with you. I just am saying if the athletic department's trying to bring that stuff, because, you know, always the, what is it, the first football game of the year, they have everybody lining up in the north end zone and bring them out, all the different, the gymnastics team and the track and cross country teams and everything else. And that's all fine and well to recognize those folks. But when you're in your sport and all, they should have recognized an achievement like that.
Yeah. Well, Rick, maybe if some are listening, perhaps that is, you know, lighting a light bulb, and maybe something will be in the works in the basketball season. We'll see.
Well, I hope so, because as we all know, we're all getting older.
And, you know, it's unfortunate, but you're right.
Yeah, I turn 66 next month, and you know, you know, none of us are promised tomorrow, and I just am hopeful that they honor people from here on out in a timely manner, so that we don't have a sad situation like this happen. But you guys keep up the good work. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate the phone call.
You Thank you, Rick. And I echo his sentiments, really. And again, Vinovic and I talked a lot about it, and I don't know that I would describe Glenn as being bitter about it, but he was certainly curious as to, you know, why something hadn't been done during the season. And it would only seem appropriate in 50-year anniversary of that team. One of the most iconic teams in Iowa athletics history. Could you say that?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I don't think there's any doubt. You know, you have famous basketball teams, obviously the Final Four team. And that is going to be, that was also an anniversary season last year and this year. Prior to December the 31st anyway. So perhaps that team will be brought back. I don't know. But like Rick said, for some reason, the university does not bring back quite as many basketball teams. Now, granted, there are more people at football games. So if you bring back a Letterman or an entire basketball team at that point, more eyeballs could be on them and will be on them. But maybe you could do both. I don't know.
Yeah, again, the last I heard and in communication with the Iowa Sports Information Office, that something they thought was in the works for this coming fall, perhaps because, you know, more people could see these guys at a football game. Well, we know that's probably not going to be the case. But we'll see what happens there. It just seems, as Rick said, too reasonable to have honored this team.
319-366-1600. And thanks to Rick and Cedar Rapids for the phone call. Do appreciate it. 317. We're going to talk some racing coming up in just a little bit. Two big stories of the day. One obviously started to break last night, Mark, and that is the fact that we are going to have Major League Baseball coming up again, the way it looks, at the end of July, just a little bit over a month from now, as Major League Baseball will be back for a truncated 60-game schedule. You're going to play your divisional opponents in your league, and then you are going to play your opposite league divisional opponents, if that makes any sense or not. But unless you are a natural rival, and then you will go from 4 to 6 games. I have no idea what games they are taking away. I'm probably safe to say for my Chicago White Sox, you get 2 more games to the Cubs and you lose 2 games to the Pirates. I'm just banking on the fact that that's going to be the case. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out anyway. So you're going to have very regionalized travel this year as far as Major League Baseball is concerned.
Where?
That's a good question.
Teams now trying to figure out where to hold so-called spring training, whether that's at affiliates. I know the Twins are – looking at St. Paul, the independent league team, and its facility. That's kind of what teams are looking at right now. And I don't know. It's season scheduled to start in late July. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, late July.
We'll see what it looks like.
Yeah, that is the case out there. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in. We're going to talk more about baseball coming up. The other big story we're going to talk about this today comes from the PGA Tour, as Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA, met with members of the media up in Hartford, Connecticut, Cromwell, Connecticut, at 1:30 Central Time today, addressed the positive tests that were released today. One player, Cameron Champ, tested positive. Also, two caddies testing positive. I thought Jay Monahan did a really good job. We'll talk more about this after we talk a little racing coming up, Mark. But I thought he did a very good job. It sounds like the PGA Tour has a plan in place. They knew they were going to get some positive tests, certainly. And they've got them. Now, with that being said, 2,757 tests have been administered so far in 3 weeks on the PGA Tour, and they've had seven positive results. You don't want any positive results. We know that. And they're thinking that of this latest batch, that at least two of them came from attending the same funeral that these two caddies attended. But the players associated with the caddies, Graham McDowell and multi-time major champion Brooks Koepka, have both, of course, withdrawn from this week's tournament up at Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah, out of caution, according to Monahan, and Daniel Berger is out. Not sure if that's COVID-related as well, but Brooks Koepka's brother, who had Monday qualified, he dropped out as well. And a couple interesting aspects of this. The PGA has acquired Whoop bands.
Yes.
WHOOP, which I was not familiar with, but they're, maybe you are, Scott, wristbands that, you know, can monitor various aspects of your health. And actually, Nick Watney, the first player on the PGA Tour to test positive, was wearing one of those bands and kind of was alerted in that regard. One of the caddies, and this from multiple sources, Ricky Elliott, who I think is Brooks Koepka's caddy.
Yes.
He tested positive yesterday, and this morning had another test, and then it was negative. Now, in thinking through this, I suppose the incubation period could be have an effect on that. Maybe a false positive. But that was kind of a strange deal. Elliott and Koepka still will not play this week.
No, they will not. Both Koepkas, as a matter of fact, will not play this week. But golf will go on. PGA Tour has ordered 1,000 of those bands that you talked about, and they are going to be given to every player, every caddy, every PGA behind-the-scenes administrator, and what have you. So PGA Tour getting – what that band apparently shows is – it's kind of, from what I understand, kind of like a glorified Fitbit.
Mm-hmm.
It can tell you your breathing patterns during your sleep at night, which is one of the telltale signs if you have contracted the coronavirus or COVID-19. If you have difficulty breathing during your sleep, that could show that you have been exposed or may have COVID-19. And that's how Nick Watney found out. And so that he took measures right away and got tested, found out that he did have it in some form, and has not played last week or will not play this week.
I think the PGA Tour is doing a lot of good things, not because I'm a golf lover, but just and what they're doing and taking more measures to monitor players, test players. But, Scott, I think you'd agree these are not going to be the last positive tests.
No, no.
I mean, these players are traveling all around the country. Frankly, there'll probably be some players, caddies, who maybe go out to a restaurant or a nightclub, probably fewer and fewer since the news of some of their compatriots have come out. But, you know, you can't control people's personal lives as much as you would want to. I know Monahan is imploring his players to, you know, eat their meals in their wherever they're staying and not go out, this, that, or the other thing. But you're going to have more positive tests. It's just how much mitigation can you do? And this will be a developing story like most these days.
Yeah, very much so. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to talk some local racing. We are going to do that for the first time. Justin Webster's covering that for the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and we'll talk about that when we return. Listening to the Gym Class for a Wednesday right here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
DePaco is the credit union where your membership pays. As a member-owned cooperative, you share in DePaco's success, not an elite group of stockholders. We do it via thank yous, a special member benefit that thanks you in cash for simply using your credit union services. It's money in your pocket for participating in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and planning for your financial future. DePaco members, whether young or oldish, can earn. Since 2016, DePaco members have shared millions of dollars in thank yous. So go on, save, borrow, invest, and insure with DePaco and earn thank yous for doing so. Find out what you're earning and how you can earn even more. Get the details at DePaco.com/thank yous. Requires credit union membership and thank yous program eligibility. DePaco is federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
So you're upgrading a house, planning an incredible master bath, a stunning open concept kitchen, but for the backyard deck, something square? Imagination shouldn't end at the back door. Create something truly inspired with TimberTech. Design versatility and technological superiority to vastly improve your home improvement. Imagine the possibilities at TimberTech.com. Bring your outdoor living space to life with TimberTech from Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
This summer, check out the store where students shop and Hawkeye fans find what they're looking for. Iowa Book and Supply features the world's largest selection of Hawkeye gifts and apparel. You can even have a t-shirt custom made in Iowa Book's lower level. Support the Hawks or make your own statement with a shirt from Iowa Book and Supply. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol.
Iowa Book, a one-of-a-kind bookstore.
The Iowa Army National Guard salutes the high school graduating class of 2020. We recognize all of your hard work and the resilience you've demonstrated during this historic time for our country. Those are the traits of a great citizen soldier. You can continue to stand out and be a leader in your community as a soldier in the Iowa Army National Guard. Learn more about the benefits of part-time service in the Army National Guard at NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard, aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Tune into the Gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Rommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Welcome back. 327 here on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. There is some rain moving in from north to south, interestingly enough, coming into about the Linn County border right now. Certainly not heavy rain or anything like that, but you have some outdoor plans tonight or just want to charge up the barbecue or whatever the case may be. There are a few stray showers out there. So keep that in mind out there. Is the barbecue up and running tonight, Mark?
Very well could be.
Okay. What time what time would you like me over?
We'll discuss after the show then, okay?
Okay, very good. We will do that.
All right.
All right. We'll talk more about baseball, a little bit more about golf coming up in a little bit, but we're going to talk some local racing right now. Justin Webster, kind enough to join us, who covers that particular sport for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Been doing a great job with that this year as we get into racing here in 2020. And Justin, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. And slowly but surely, and I know that for a fact, we are getting back into racing, and that's kind of been the way it's been here in 2020, hasn't it?
Right. They started without the fans, which the drivers had to get used to a little bit. They said it felt a little bit like a paid practice, one of the drivers mentioned specifically. But now they've got fans back, and everybody's loving it. I think it's drawn even bigger numbers to the sport because people don't have a lot of other places to go. And it's just working out for everybody, including the promoters who have the fans in the seats that they need to make sure that it can all go around, you know?
Yeah, Justin, as you have made your rounds, what have you seen in terms of fans back in the stands and social distancing and all that?
Well, the tracks are a little hesitant to get too specific with the details, and a lot of them won't share exact numbers. It's not that I think anything fishy is going on. It's just they want to make sure that they're staying within parameters. So, you know, the numbers are getting close to pushing the limits, but people are being smart. There's not a lot of people wearing masks, if we're being honest, but the people who are in charge and in those capacities typically are. A lot of people are really, from the fans' point of view, I think are just using it as a release to get out. So some people are maybe choosing not to wear masks, but there are safety precautions. They're making sure the tracks stay extra clean. You know, same like when you go out to a restaurant now, everyone's trying to make sure that the experience is enjoyable as possible while still covering the guidelines that the governor or the local authorities put into place. So,
yeah. And, well, I know, Justin, as far as our track is concerned, we are definitely looking at this as an opportunity. And I know talking with many of the other tracks around Eastern Iowa, as well as outside the state, that are racing, they are looking at this as an opportunity as well. Like you mentioned, starting off on the interview today, people that might not be your regular race fans might be coming out this year just to get out of the house and to enjoy just to be outside, I guess.
And also some of the race car drivers who are not having as loose sanctions as we might have are coming from the West Coast. California and Oregon are seeing a lot of drivers come out and spend 2-3 weeks at a time. We saw a lot of drivers from Wisconsin and Illinois come down when their states hadn't opened yet. And so Independence saw 161 drivers for one of their first nights, and that's incredible. Hawkeye Downs is slowly reopening as well, and they're hoping to pull, you know, some of these dirt guys who are excited to race for some of their classes. They're letting them come in and, you know, put on some fresh tires and race and get some of these dirt guys here on the asphalt as well here in Cedar Rapids.
Go ahead, Mark.
Justin, some interesting stories you've written in the Gazette in recent times, and one of the more interesting I thought was about 11-year-old Chase Brunsheen.
Yeah.
11 years old. He's been at it a while. Justin, I'm telling you, if I see an 11-year-old driving on 6th Street, I'm going the other way. Is this kid good?
It's scary, but you talk to the kid, and he sounds, as I referenced, like a little Dale Jr. or a little Peyton Manning. He's already there. I interview a lot of high school kids, and sometimes that can be a grind, getting more than a quote out of them that doesn't involve a bunch of A's and ums. And this kid is 11, and we talked for 26 minutes, and I told his dad leading into it, jump in where you need to. He didn't need to. The kid's 11. He's smart. You mentioned in the article he wants to be an NFL tight end or defensive end and then retire to racing. He's already got it planned out.
I wish I had my life planned out as well as he did at 11. Justin Webster joining us from the Gazette, talking a little local racing here. And let's start off on the dirt side of things. Like you mentioned, Independence has been putting together great car counts. Benton County Speedway has also been putting together some great car counts. It's good to see that. And it's not good to see the rain, which kind of plagued everybody last weekend, but at least as of right now, boy, a lot of cars out at these tracks.
Well, and we've got good rivalries that are keeping the cars coming out and keeping the fans happy when we're there. On the stock cars, you mentioned Benton County. The points race there has Dallin Murdy, who is 15, I think, and his dad, the Chelsea Charger, Damon, is trailing him by 6 points. And then you've got one of the best names in racing, Scooter Doolin, is sitting there in third, pushing him along. So between a father-son, by the way, on Sunday night, Damon spun out Dallin. The father spun out the son and let the son keep the spot, put the dad to the back. The kid ended up winning. Now he's got some races in there winning, and he's leading the points race. So the stock cars are exciting. You know, Tom Berry Jr. is leading modifieds. And then in the hobby stocks, you've got three really good drivers that are kind of rotating wins. Nathan Ballard out of Marengo, who I've got a story coming up later in the week on him, and a local track he has built for some go-karts, along with Caden Reynolds, who just graduated Cedar Rapids Kennedy a couple weeks ago, skipped his graduation to go race on a Saturday night in Independence, and went ahead and won. So he had the early lead, 16-year-old or 18-year-old Caden Reynolds. Brett Vanu, who's been at Indy and Benton both over the years, has got a couple wins the last couple weeks. He's in sixth place. Caden Reynolds is in fifth place. And then Nathan Ballard in first place. And all three of those guys I mentioned have swapped paint over the last 2 or 3 weeks in working out who's going to take victory lane, and it's got the fans pretty riled up.
Mm-hmm. And we've had a few early season bounties that have been collected so far. That also stays in the family in one of those instances, anyway.
Right, the Olson family, which a lot of people have known for a long time. There's, and I'm going to forget one of them, I'm sure. There's Randy and Russ, and then there's another brother that started it way back. And now you've got Kyle and Tony, who are the kids from there. And then Stacy Reynolds is Caden Reynolds' mom. So you've got Caden Reynolds, who I mentioned is actually an Olson. But then Tony Olson and Kyle Olson had bounties on. Kyle Olson has never had a bounty on him. He's just collected the bounties that have been put on his cousin Tony. But Tony quite often has had bounties put on him. Caden Reynolds, who we mentioned is an Olson, had a bounty on him. And that's when all that paint started swapping between Vanu and Ballard and Reynolds once we got those bounties out there. So like you've mentioned and like the fans have seen, it's created a lot of excitement. It gets more people out there. Not only have we seen bounties specifically, but then other sponsors and friends of the tracks, we'll call them, will say, hey, I'll throw an extra 100 if the kid will go to the back of the line. And Caden Reynolds, when he had his bounty on him, went from 21st place to first in 20 laps, or to second in 20 laps. So, you know, when you're 18 and you can pick up a car a lap and from the back of the pack, you're doing pretty good. And we got a lot of young drivers, like you mentioned, Brunsheen, Reynolds, some other young drivers. Elliot Vogel got his first career win at Hawkeye Downs.
Yep.
We did a story on him. He's been racing for a while and has kind of grinded it out. But we got a lot of young drivers, whether they're 14 or 11 or 22, that are trying to build the sport and kind of, you know, we've got the 38-year-olds there and we've got a few legends in there. But we're trying to get the young youth out there, not only in driving, but in the fan side as well.
Hey, guys, for a relative novice like me, explain how bounties work.
So essentially, it's if anybody but the guy wins, that person gets $100. Now, what they'll typically do is there's the backside of it, which in this case they had kind of a double bounty, if you want to call it. If anybody but, so for instance, with the one where Tony Olson had the bounty, if anybody but him won the race, they'd get the 100, which was Kyle. But then they also, Tony went to the back of the pack just to make it fair for everybody, and then he was going to get double payout for any place that he got. So if he started 20th and only made it to 12th, well, he'd get double that payout. And then the incentive on that, obviously, is if you can go all the way to the front, you're going to double your payday and then maybe, you know, collect your own bounty. So he only got up to, I think Tony finished third. He got up to second and thought he was going to be able to take Kyle, but Kyle collected the bounty. Tony finished third, got double the third pay. Everybody walked away with more money. And as Caden pointed out in his, when he finished second, he got more money for second, which was a little over $500, than the winner typically would get, which is $300. So he made more than he was expecting. He got to get the fans all pumped up. And again, the rivalries are building fans on both sides. You're getting people to like you and then people to, you know, shake your fist at you a little bit too. But that always sells shirts and tickets, so.
Never happens in a racetrack. Never happens. I'm learning that as we go along. But, yeah, and as far as all of us at Hawkeye Downs, of course, you mentioned Elliot Vogel with his first win. Some familiar names made it to victory lane anyway. Got rained out last week, but tomorrow night, two half-mile classes, or I should say Friday night, mid-AMs will be there, and then the Midwest Dash Series will also be there coming up on Friday night. So we're hoping the rain holds off, and we're looking forward to that.
And you're going to have a good deal, right? I see Caleb told me, is there going to be a discount on admission?
$5 admission.
Exactly. That's excellent. That's just going to help pull out the people. Once I started going there watching my uncle, most of the drivers had an uncle or a brother or a dad that did it. It's a family thing. It's a good thing. And, you know, there's good food, good smells, good cars. It's just a fun time for the family.
We're going to get to what do you think about some of the specials so far this year? Are we still going to see those go on? You've been talking with some of the folks behind the scenes at all the racetracks around Eastern Iowa. Are those going to go off this summer?
Well, we have coming to Newton here in the middle part of July. I think it's the 17th, 18th. The IndyCars are going to come to Newton. I know on the more local side of things, They're still hoping to get some of the traveling series in there. I know Hawk & Downs has the Enduros this weekend, right?
Yes.
So, some of those special things, I know we did a thing on Motocross, which is going to be able to get their season in with you guys. A lot of those things are going to try. Some of the traveling things, it kind of depends on restrictions and tracks. So a lot of the tracks here, from their point of view, are willing to make things happen. Whether the people can travel with the people they need to bring with them to put on the series or the event that it is, that kind of just depends on where they're based out of and who they have that they need to put on a show. So the local tracks, I know, are ready and willing. Hawk & Downs, talking with Caleb over there, talking with Jerry Mackey over at all the places he's involved in, with Farley. Farley down there, we didn't mention, has a new expo center as well that they're trying to host weddings and parties, and anybody that'll come and be a part of the racetrack experience, they're ready to have people on site. You know, of course, they have to follow guidelines depending on what county they're in, but the tracks themselves are ready. It's just a matter of which series is supposed to come and whether they'll be able to physically make it themselves. So,
yeah. Yep. And it's interesting. And I think we're all very anxious to get going, knowing that we have an opportunity, as you mentioned. And whether it be, Maquoketa or Columbus Junction or Independence or Farley or Dubuque, whatever the case may be. And I think people are ready to get out to the races.
They are. And if you come out and it's been a while, you can see some of your favorite drivers from all time are out there. Greg Heinrich, which has been at Hawkeye Downs for a long time, is out there interviewing people. I didn't realize Johnny Spa, who's my favorite racer of all time, has his hand in a lot of the cars that are around. So there's names that, if it's been 10 or 15 years since you've been out there, those people are still involved in the sport, whether it's building the cars or helping the cars or running the tracks or all that stuff. They're finding a way. You know, we talked to the race inspector at Hawkeye Downs, won several championships out there and around the area as well. So there's people who, if it's been a while, you can reconnect with and reconnect your love with the sport, like myself has this year, and a lot of other people are under this, unique circumstance.
Yeah, you sound enthusiastic. You're ready to go, man.
I'm ready to go. You said it was racing tomorrow. Now I'm ready for racing tomorrow. I got to wait 2 days now.
Yeah, and we hope we get it in. Everybody's hoping they get it in coming up this weekend, because I think last weekend early in the weekend was pretty much a washout.
Right. Vinton was able to slide it in. Hawkeye Downs didn't have big enough of a window. And then Independence, it was too wet from the morning. But Vinton was able to slide it in, and they had a lot. Not only did a lot of those rivalries we talk about had great races, but they had a big packed grandstand. So every week we can build on that. People are just getting more excited. And maybe a washout was good to kind of remind people, hey, don't get too used to this. This is something you still have to take appreciation for and not take for granted, because we almost quickly forgot that we had almost lost racing for the season, and we're one of the lucky sports that's going to get it back at least most of the summer.
Yes, and please follow your social distancing. We have to.
Yes.
Please do that out there, no matter what track you're headed off to. And hey, Justin, appreciate it. I will probably see you soon, and we will talk soon. Some more racing as we get more into the summer here.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Talk to you guys again soon.
All right. Justin Webster, give him a follow. Does a great job covering racing, both dirt and asphalt, as far as Eastern Iowa is concerned. Very, very excited about it. He's ready to go, Mark, man.
He is indeed. He gets around to different tracks, and as I said, he's done some great human interest stories about the young and the old at various racetracks. And check him out at Gazette Online. Good stuff.
Very much so. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and have more. Talk a little baseball, talk a little bit of golf as well. 3:43. It is Gym Class for Wednesday right here on KGYM.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota L-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota L-Series tractors. With a powerful and reliable Kubota diesel engine, two superior transmission options, and optional performance-matched implements, including front loader and backhoe, the L2501 can tackle any job. Kubota is a proud sponsor of Iowa State football on the Cyclone Radio Network. Visit a participating Iowa Kubota dealer near you.
Right now, sports is revisiting the classics.
Got him open at the 70-yard line. Touchdown. For the lefty, he lays it in.
To the wall!
Seems like your music should, too. And you can. It's called Smart Rock, an infinite library of the best music ever created. Catch it on Smart FM, 95.1 in Cedar Rapids, 98.5 in Iowa City, or on your smart speaker. The best sports moments in history on KGYM. The best music in the history of the planet on Smart FM.
It's time for some straight talk. Even though most live sports are on hold now, big wireless companies haven't stopped playing games. They're always trying to lock you into overpriced contracts. With Straight Talk Wireless, there are no contracts. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but you save up to 50%. $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. You might miss sports, but don't play games, you'll lose. Straight Talk Wireless, no contracts, no compromise.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Introducing a new podcast. ESPN Daily, hosted by me, Mina Kimes. When you want to go beyond your feed, when you want to get inside the score, when you want to get behind the highlight, there's ESPN Daily. Go deeper into the stories of the moment. Get the exclusive access and insider perspective that only ESPN can give you. The best sports story all day, 20 minutes a day, 5 days a week. ESPN Daily. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
3:46, we're back with you on the Gym Class on KGYM with some breaking news, Mark. This courtesy of the Des Moines Register, Randy Peterson, friend of the shows, has wrote this and has published it on Twitter and is up on the Des Moines Register's website as well. But Jamie Pollard and Iowa State have made it official, Mark, 50% capacity for football games at Jack Trice Stadium this fall.
That's the story, and you should add that this is the quote-unquote current plan. But right now, 50% capacity at Jack Trice Stadium. And what's interesting is that yesterday we talked about a statement made 2 days ago by the Story County Board of Health that recommended slash urged Iowa State not to have any fans at Jack Trice Stadium. So that's how much Iowa State paid attention to the Board of Health.
Yeah. you understand, obviously. Even a 50% capacity at Jack Trice Stadium, and trust us, other places are going to do this as well.
And there are others out today. They're all over Twitter, Michigan State, Penn State, several other schools announcing similar plans.
Yeah, so you got to think that this is going to come down the road in Iowa City as well, especially with what Gary Barta announced a couple days ago as far as the freeze, as far as season tickets are concerned. Jamie Pollard in the Randy Peterson piece went on to say about the 50%, because first thing I looked at is, okay, who's going to get the 50% of the tickets? And Jamie Pollard came out with a statement that said, our season ticket fan base is going to have to ask themselves, do they feel comfortable at the stadium? Do they feel not comfortable at the stadium? How do you think the percentages are going to play out? We asked Iowa State fans about that yesterday, Mark, and it was about, I would think it would be about 65-35 people wanting to go to football games. And that does not equate to 50%. So there are going to be people that are going to be disappointed.
Right. Jack Trice seats 61,500 people, so roughly 30,000 people at this point, quote unquote, current plan, will be allowed in the stadium. And boy, I don't want to be in the ticket office.
Nope.
I really don't. I don't want to establish the procedures that, and I think I read Iowa State has sold more than 30,000 season tickets.
That is correct.
To this point. So, you know, how do you make that decision? That's why they paid Jamie Pollard pretty handsomely, and a ticket office will be busy. But in answer to your question, I think what's true today may not be true at the end of August and into October. It may be worse, maybe better. People's feelings might change about attending a game and in what form. It's certainly going to be a personal choice, but we heard from, I forget her first name, in Walker. She said, if they're going to allow me in the stadium, I'll go, but I'm going to be careful.
Indeed.
Was it Cindy? Yeah.
I believe so. That yesterday, our phone call, 319-366-1600. What do you think? It is now official. Iowa State, 50% capacity for Jack Trice Stadium. Did not say anything about going into the winter, although Jamie Pollard did mention when the time comes, we will take a look at other venues, including Hilton Coliseum. I would imagine that would be the case as well. And like you said, we don't know. Again, we don't know. And I hate to trivialize this, Mark, because, okay, people are going to be disappointed. You know, that's kind of the name of the game in 2020 so far.
Well, I'm not going to criticize or applaud Iowa State or any other school that is putting this plan in place because, as I said, it's quote-unquote the current plan. And, my God, you got to have a plan in place at some point, and what better time than now. Again, I'm not going to applaud or criticize Iowa State or 50%, 33%, 25%, whatever it may be. No fans. This is the plan. We'll see how it plays out.
It is, and it's a plan as of June the 24th. This may not be the plan as of July 24th, or who knows how it's going to play out. You're going to have a plan by August 24th. I'm going to tell you that because that's only about a week and a half ahead of the start of the college football season. 319-366-1600. The breaking news, Iowa State will now only allow 50% capacity in Jack Trice Stadium. What are your initial thoughts about that? Other schools, as Mark has mentioned, going out and putting that out today as well. Penn State, Beaver Stadium is going to look pretty deserted with half capacity, but that's still going to be, 55,000 up at State College for a Penn State football game. But it's going to look very, very different. But you take a look at the financial aspects of things, even your budget's going to take a hit even with half capacity, and I know that's not the first thing we should look at. I'm just throwing every one of the different aspects that need to be examined here out there, and that certainly is one. Another one is, okay, how do you divide up the tickets? Does someone get a ticket for every game if they want to go? If you have, for example, 43,000 that want to go to Jack Trice Stadium, how are you going to get that down to the 30-odd thousand that are going to be in there? A lot of big questions to have answered.
And we've already seen schools cutting sports, maybe non-revenue sports. University of Connecticut today cutting 4 sports because of financial ramifications from the coronavirus, including men's tennis. And one of the players there is Washington graduate Rami Sheets.
Yep.
So he's got to find a new school, apparently. And, again, we've seen several schools cut a variety of different sports. And as this thing continues, the numbers will grow.
They will. They will. 319-366-1600. And speaking of that, of course, another one of the headlines today, the PGA Tour announcing that two caddies and one player testing positive for COVID-19 and the coronavirus today. Jay Monahan, the commissioner of the PGA, going on a teleconference plus a regular news conference today and addressing that. The PGA Tour is going to go on, and more steps are going to be taken to combat the spread. Now, keep in mind, it's 7 out of 2,757, which is, I think, 0.0002% or 0.002%, something like that anyway. It's pretty minuscule, but we'd like to have that at zero. But I think, and Jay Monahan put it very well, that we knew when this started that we weren't going to have a zero.
A couple interesting comments, questions on the text line, 5268. Dave asking, how many tickets will the visiting team get out of those 30,000?
That's,
I wish I knew. It's a great question.
It is a great question. A great question. With everything going on and with hopefully restricted travel, people staying in a bubble, I mean, you cannot tell family they cannot go see their son at a football game. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can do that, can you?
You're not going to tell my family that, I can tell you that.
No. you're going to go to a football game, whether it's going to be home or away. So I think you have to have some tickets set aside for that. But that's a very good question, Dave.
0497, I thought that was Iowa State's original plan.
Jay,
I can't vouch for that. That sounds familiar.
He
but,
talked about
I can't
it.
Vouch for that.
He talked about that was going to be one of the things under consideration. I don't think he ever came out and said we are going to have 50% from the very start. I believe that was the case. A lot of different things going on the text line right now, including 0497 as far as the original plan is concerned. And then there are also 4412 saying that the COVID thing is getting blown way out of proportion. Check the stats. And yes, you are right. But again, it depends on what side of the equation you're on, Mark. Is what you believe out there. And I guess the truth lies somewhere in the middle, right?
Well, it depends on who do you believe, what your opinions are. There are no wrong opinions right now, but they are our own.
True. Very true. More on Iowa State coming up, and that will be with Todd and Alex. They're coming up next. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way right here on KGYM. Tomorrow, we are going to catch up with Dave Koken from Las Vegas, Nevada, the fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. And there are a few sports to bet on. We're going to talk about that with Dave, see what he's been doing during the quarantine. And talk about the return of Major League Baseball. Dave's a big baseball fan, so he's going to have some thoughts about that.
He's not a big fan of blackouts, though, I can tell you that. We'll talk to him about that tomorrow.
Well, that was the first question a lot of people had, especially here in Iowa, the blackout capital of Major League Baseball. What's that going to look like? Are they going to lift that for a 60-game season? Who knows? Who knows out there? We will see. We will see about that. All right, Mark, thanks.
Don't get us started, right?
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, thanks. You have a very, very good Wednesday night, okay?
Sounds good. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Been listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great Wednesday night, everybody.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
An auto policy from State Farm gets you